Okay, for our interview this morning, we have Sean Suiso from Grogan Building Supply and Brent, of course, from Memory Builders. And just to let you know, they have two locations in Houston, Lumberyard on 2419 Yale Street and the Design Center in Garden Oaks Boulevard. And I understand from Sean that there are a lot of stories here with Grogan Building Supply. So Sean, let's start at the beginning.
Well, from what I know, Grogan's has been in business since 1886 in Houston. If you've ever been across Lake Woodlands Boulevard in the Woodlands, you drive. Let's start over.
Go ahead. I'll edit.
You'll edit. Okay. So, if you've ever been to the Woodlands and you drive down Lake Woodlands Boulevard, you come across a road called Grogan's Mill Road. Well, the Grogan family used to own the Woodlands. And in fact, Lake Woodlands was a mill, and they would they'd cut down trees and make dimensional lumber out of it and put it on an ox cart and ship it down here to the Heights. They originally had two locations, which are now covered over by freeways. And they basically sold lumber to build all those historic homes in the Heights. We are still in business in different locations now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a kind of a full service lumber yard with all the different types of siding that you might find to, you know, rehab it, an older home. Lots of moldings and things like that. That's at the 2419 Yale location.
So that's like all the shiplap and wood floors and everything.
All the different types of siding, the very tight, you know, the very tight siding, shiplap, mm-hmm. Lots of
that
different shiplap's
really, really popular hot. Right yeah. now, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that all over.
In fact, they
people talking about it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's from
the Waco.
Yeah, Lady Waco, the Joanna Gaines effect, you might say.
She loves the shiplap.
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am. So we also have another location on 300 Garden Oaks Boulevard. And what we do over there is we specialize in windows, doors, and special order items such as like shutters and bath and kitchen hardware, you know, things that really take someone with a specialized knack to order and get you what you need.
Mm-hmm.
So we have many different types of window lines to fit just about any style of home, from contemporary to traditional to transitional. And those product lines would also fit just about any price point. So we have vinyl windows, thermal break aluminum windows, which are very popular right now. And we have wood and wood clad windows. The product lines that we carry are Geldwin, Weather Shield, which is new, MI, Milgard, NT and La Cantina.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we carry Geldwin and Weather Shield, we carry the breadth and width of all of their products. So Geldwin has vinyl, wood clad, La Cantina, fiberglass, Aurora custom doors. Weather Shield has wood windows, vinyl windows, aluminum clad windows. And then within all those products, they have different operational types.
And different price points, I would.
And much, yes, different price points.
Imagine.
So, you know, as a salesperson, I always try to match. I ask a series of questions to match what the customer needs and what their expectations are and try to get them to the right product, thereby effectively getting them a very good cost point product.
And that's what you use your design center for? You ask your customers to come in there and have a look at things, mm-hmm. and give them the price points and ask them the 10 questions you're going to ask? And
we have a full service showroom, so we have all these different product lines I spoke about. We have them on display from vinyl to wood, and plus we also have orders right out in the warehouse behind us that they can go out and look at great big units and things like that.
Yeah, that's very helpful because the clients
yes.
are very visual. They
yeah.
want to come see
yeah,
it, touch
yeah,
it,
yeah.
feel it, and see the benefits of each one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge.
And also for those clients that are eco-friendly these days, so you probably have products that serve that arena as well.
Yes, on a wood window, you can ask for an FSC certified product. That's the Forward Stewardship Council. So those are products that are harvested without pillaging the forest, so to speak.
Correct.
So you can get that. That does cost a little bit more. That is possible. A lot of these companies now that have used preservatives on the wood, they're ecologically friendly products, environmentally safe products. So the other bonus is also just about every component within these windows and doors is American made. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for that, that's
huge.
Oh, that's huge, yeah.
You know, another thing that I always get asked about energy efficiency is, are the windows low E?
Yes.
So that's pretty much all of them, right?
Every window and door I would sell would be double pane insulated.
Correct. With argon filled.
With argon and different, we just have to look at the specs on the particular project and we will make sure that we're hitting the energy criteria.
And there's also higher energy efficiency glass where, you know, the reflective component. And
there are coatings you can put on the glass. You can put like a bronze finish. Very rarely do we have people ever want those because it really makes your home a lot darker.
Mm-hmm.
But it is possible, yes.
So you don't actually manufacture anything yourselves.
So essentially we're a broker. Mm-hmm. And we have all these products on display. We try to match the right product with the right customer, and they can take a look at it and make the decision themselves.
So can you describe how you work with builders like Brent, and specifically Brent, both?
Well, with Brent, he will send me a set of plans and give me a brief outline of what is needed for the job, meaning the type of window that we're going to use and maybe the type of door. I'll look at the project and see how it looks, how it scales out, if it's a gigantic project. Then I figure those people probably want to spend a little bit more and we'll get them a really nice product. If we're going to build a townhome, then we're probably going to go with something that's going to be, you know, a very good price point, but still meet the energy criteria and functionality and design purpose.
So when you're looking at a proposal for Brent and you don't have a client in front of you, what do you look at to determine things like style? Are you just mainly looking at if it's a townhome, how the other townhomes look, or if it's a big home, what you think, or how do you make that match there?
I usually will go right to the elevations. So, you know, you can tell if there's not a lot of detail, then it's more of a transitional product where it's simplified, but yet it still maintains a little bit of a traditional window with grid patterns on the glass, you know, mutton bars that mm-hmm. make light dividers. If they're gigantic windows with no grid patterns and it's a very rectilinear project, then it's probably a contemporary. And we want something with minimal frame perimeter, you know, lots of glass, little frame. That's where we would use an aluminum window.
So you basically lay out exactly what you think based on the plans that are submitted. You keep on going, but
and oftentimes I will give them several different options.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, okay.
We get a lot of options, and I was wondering, since you work with a lot of builders, how many architects spec the windows out on the plans that you're dealing with?
Oh, good question.
So out of that, probably 30% will actually put a manufacturer's name on the window and door schedule.
Does that help?
Absolutely, yeah.
I agree. Because the architect, and it helps with architects as well, I mean, and the client, because the clients, when they come in, it's almost like they're overwhelmed.
Yes.
And they don't know what they want.
But the
architect works with the builder early in the process to try and figure out the right price point on what they need to go with. So a lot of the times we get plans and I don't even know what we need. You know, I don't. But that's if the architect and client comes to us way late. So it works to try and come up with the budget early on so that there's no shock factor when they see the prices of the windows.
Yeah, and address. The address of the project kind of plays a role.
Oh, so the address, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're Mike's not gonna,
address,
yeah, you're not gonna
West
put
U address,
clad yeah. windows in a house out in Cypress because that area is primarily vinyl windows.
And then the house is overpriced.
And then the house is overpriced, and you never get your return on your investment. But if we're building, you know, we're here at 3482 Inwood, and we're building this beautiful home, we're going to put a very, very...
River Oaks, by the way.
In River Oaks, we're going to build a very... We're going to put in a very, very nice window.
Yeah.
And the customer is going to have every bit of input that goes into that.
Yeah. So to just finish out the process, Brent, so when he gives you options, mm-hmm. then, let's say that the architect hasn't specified it, and he gives you options, then you take those options to the client and talk those options through.
So what we do is then we get the options. We put it on our co-construct program as different choices for the client so that they can see what our original budget was, what the three options are, whether it raises or lowers the price point. And then the client, and then we put the details of what the window is and the, you know, the efficiencies and all that. But after that, then that gives the client an idea of what the price points are. And then we have them meet with Sean in the showroom so that they can actually see the window and feel it. And then be like, okay, I'll pay an extra $4,000 for this package. Or like, oh, it's not worth that. Let's go with the cheaper version, right? So it's, mm-hmm. I don't know what clients want, but it's whenever we're just given plans without details. So it's just a process, and mm-hmm. it's a long process because there's revisions, and then, deciding windows and exterior doors could take up to a couple months.
Oh, yeah, because it's a major part of the house.
It's a huge architectural feature.
It is.
It's a huge architectural feature. Yeah.
So we want answers early on windows, doors, cabinets, mm-hmm. all these things. Of course, on appliances and plumbing fixtures, but really windows and exterior doors is a huge determining factor on the cost of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could fluctuate a price point of a house $30,000 to $50,000 just on windows and exterior doors easily, mm-hmm. depending on what the client wants.
And it's funny, some clients are more concerned about plumbing fixtures and electrical fixtures than they are the windows and doors. That some clients are, whatever you suggest, you're the professional. You know, that's why we hired Brent. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's exactly. funny, every client's a little bit different.
They are.
And it is very important for them to come in and physically take a look at it because, we want to match their expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's kind of too late after they've been ordered and put
they
in.
They are a special order, and they're not returnable, so yep. it is very important that we...
Oh, that's a good point to bring up here,
So what we do with Brooke and them is I create an outline of what is quoted, the glass, even the width of the grid patterns and what profiles on them, so that the uneducated person can know what the heck I'm quoting, and then that also creates a checklist that I go through when they come in,
mm-hmm.
and we talk about the window, the glass, the grid patterns, the spacing, the hardware color, the exterior color, what type of door, how it operates, all those type of things. So it kind of puts everybody on the same page, in my opinion.
And I've got a little tip whenever you're looking at a proposal from Sean and any window bid, whenever you're looking at it, you want to look at the floor plan first and check off every single window on the floor plan. But also check the elevations, because sometimes a client will have, they probably added a window on the floor plan, but did not, then the architect didn't add it on the
elevation.
So then there's an issue. We got to ask the client, did you want this window or not? So we're getting differences here, from mm-hmm. the plan set. So we don't want to order too many windows, and we don't want to be short any windows, because then that delays our construction time. So it's very... You have to have a very detailed person on both parties, from the supplier as well as the builder, to make sure you get it right the first time.
Exactly.
Do you find that your showroom is accurate enough, or not accurate, but set up in such a way that people can get a good idea of how, not just how the windows look, because clearly they can see that there, but how they might look in their house?
That's a tough one, because every house is a little bit different. Our displays are set up to where the window itself is featured. They're not in walls with bricks around them, per se. That's something you have to leave to your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the plans and the elevations to go through, and then we have full-size windows in the warehouse that most people can get it from that point. When they see a great big window, then they can get a sense of scale and how it's going to look. Because some people can't visualize things,
nope.
and they need to see a full-size window.
As Brent was saying, I think probably a good 50% of the people can't visualize. They have, not just in windows and doors, but generally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If it's not put in front of them, then they have a terrible time figuring it out. So once you get all this straight and you order, how long does it normally take? So what do you do in ordering? Do you have to fill out all this paperwork now? And
so when I provide a proposal, I am making sure that I'm going to hit all the egress requirements, all the safety requirements, so that we don't have any unexpected hitches throughout the process. So we meet all those criteria. We get the customer to come in and look at it. They agree that this is what they want.
You check all that off?
I check all those boxes I've created, and they do the same thing. So basically, we have a system of double checks here between Brent and I.
That's excellent.
And make sure that the product comes out correct, comes out right. And then depending on the product line, it can take from anywhere from 3 weeks for like a vinyl window up to 13, 14 weeks for an aluminum window.
Wow.
Or a very specialized door system.
Depending on the time of year, the manufacturer, I mean, whenever it's like for Hurricane Harvey, you know, it pushed a bunch of these lead times out, you know. But they're probably coming back, I would say.
It's your average lead time is between 4 and 6 weeks.
Correct. And it's not just us, it's any, I mean,
industry-wide.
Yeah, industry-wide. Because, you know, they're manufactured at their plants, you know, in Carolinas or...
Yeah.
They are.
Somewhere in the Americas, as we understand.
Most of the wood windows come from Wisconsin.
Do they?
Wisconsin, because of the supply chain.
So are there, or do you know, if in this manufacturing process, if there's artisans left in there, or is it mainly all done by robots now, or what?
No, it's a handcrafted product.
It's a handcrafted?
Yeah, I mean, there are machines to mill pieces, but essentially the window being assembled is all handcrafted by guys that have been doing this for 30 years.
What I would have thought, yeah.
I mean, I was just at the Weathershield plant in Medford, Wisconsin, and the workforce there is an older workforce, and they've all been working there for a minimum of 10 years, and they're skilled craftsmen. And they basically, you know, they'll take a door and they'll build you a whole door, or they'll bifold doors or pocketing doors, you know, all kinds of different stuff. So,
and what are they doing to, this is off topic kind of, but I'm interested, what are they doing about bringing up the next generation of...
They have design teams.
Oh, they do. And they include...
They're constantly looking at it. And when we were there, they were asking us, hey, what would you like, what do you think about this? What would you like to see us bring out next? And we made some suggestions, and actually they're going to implement one here very soon.
Oh, I like that.
On
so,
a bifolding door.
Very
cool. We asked, you know, when you have like 7 panels on a bifolding door and you see all these hinges, is there a way to make those concealed?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. That's a great idea.
Well, yeah. I never thought of it, because you know that's what clients, they don't want to see.
That's right, that's right, that's right, that's right.
So we love to work with companies that are innovative.
Yes.
And listen to us and back us up, and that's why we have the suppliers that we have.
That's where I was going. Boy, you just jumped right in. And what about the younger artisans coming up? Are they? Do you find in these teams that you see younger people in there throwing out their ideas as well?
They basically had on each workstation, there was a person that was looked like they had been there a while. They were an older person. And they were teamed up with someone that was coming up, because as they progress in life, they're going to retire and they need to train their replacements, essentially.
Yeah, and your supply chain breaks down if you don't, or if you're not watching what's going on in these different companies that provide your supplies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're only as good as our suppliers.
That's right. And if you're not watching what's going on there and whether they're bringing new people into it and the current ones are retiring, you can find your supply chain breaking down.
If we have a supplier that is not performing, we will drop them.
Oh, okay. There you go. That's the way it works.
So not only do I sell products and I do all these projects, which I kind of take ownership of when I do a project.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah.
And I want it to come out right and I follow it through all the way to the end. I'm also in charge of product development for Grogan's.
Oh, you are.
So... basically, we went out and got Weathershield. We went out and brought in Arcadia. We went out and got exclusive iron doors. NT windows. We've expanded our product line, and we're going to continue to expand our product line as we, you know, move forward.
Well, these things all kind of wrap together, dealing directly with the clients, dealing with Brent, and dealing with the manufacturers. You're kind of seeing the whole picture.
We're the liaison, so to speak.
Yeah.
Between the builder, the homeowner, and the manufacturer.
Yeah.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay, well, I think that's great. Now, we've talked a lot about windows, but tell us about doors, because most people think of a door as, you know, a big slab they put.
Big rectangle.
Of wood or something that they, you know, put in there and hope somebody isn't able to kick it down, you know, to get in the house. So there's got to be some specialty things about doors that we might like to know.
Well, you talked about, you mentioned one thing, kicking the door down. You know, door manufacturers for years and years always made doors out of solid wood. And then we had this problem that the door would warp or would rot, you know. So they are now building doors in new ways so that they last a lot longer. They're more technologically innovative. So let's take a wood door, for instance. They would make it out of solid pieces of wood, turned and joined together. Now they have what's called an LVL core, laminated veneer lumber, that they apply a veneer over. And then the bottom of the door has a composite block on the bottom, because how wood doors rot is the end grain comes in contact with the ground and it wicks up moisture.
The water issue again.
Water.
Yes, yes,
and
we heard about that.
The jam is also built that way too.
Yeah.
So they're building doors, even if it's a wood door, which I try to push people away from, because they, you know, it's wood, it's a natural.
You're referring
product.
To like a mahogany?
Like a mahogany door.
Like front door mahogany.
Yeah. You know, there are questions you want to ask a customer when they're wanting to buy a wood.
Yeah,
door.
I can imagine.
What direction does it face? Are you going to paint it or stain it? Is it going to be a dark color? Does there an overhang? Because I want to sell the door to someone that's going to last.
Yeah.
And a wood door may not be it.
Yeah.
So my job as a salesperson is to help educate the customer, to make them make a knowledgeable decision, and to
yes.
have the right product fit their needs.
Yes. This is, thank you for saying that, because this is part of the reason we're doing this, is helping to educate. So keep on going. So what is a laminate door?
So like, let's say they have a door with glass in it. Some people are very concerned about security.
Yes.
And what they can do now is they can put a laminate in between the panes of glass. So if I was to take a hammer and bust the glass wouldn't fall out. You wouldn't be able to go through the glass to gain entry into the home. So
security glass.
It's security glass. Mm. And it's an upcharge. But some people...
But worth
how much,
it.
How much is
worth
an upcharge?
Upcharge,
when they say
yeah.
A front door for one door.
Yeah.
If you can get laminated, depending on the product, if it's a big piece of glass, you can typically expect it to be 30 to 35% more.
Okay. So say if it's... say a front door, just say it's $1,000, you're probably going to look at $1,300, and that's probably well worth it for someone's own piece of glass.
Absolutely.
Mind.
Yeah, if you have a great big piece of glass, but if you have like a Craftsman type door,
correct.
There's just a little bit of glass at the top, it's really not needed because they could never get through that.
They can't get through that hole and reach their arm down to unlock the deck.
You almost really wouldn't need it per se on a front door because of the exposure to the street. Where you would want to consider it would be around the sides in the back of the house. Because criminals are going to look for a place that's hidden where
yeah.
people won't see them, you know.
Yeah.
Great point, for sure.
Absolutely.
So you could laminate the door and then have a window right next to it, and they'll just break the window.
Yeah, we just did a house with security glass on every single front, first floor. And then I think on the second floor balcony we did security glass. So for that same reason, I mean, everybody's going to go where there's no animals, no lights, nice dark spot on the side of the house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
And a security glass is something that doesn't shatter? Is that what it is?
It'll break. All glass on doors is tempered for safety. So if it does break, it shatters into a million little pieces. But if it's laminated, then instead of it being a double pane with two pieces of glass, it's still a double pane with three pieces of glass.
Mm.
So the outermost edge has a piece of glass, a membrane, and then another piece of glass, airspace, and then the inner pane of glass.
Mm.
The technology these days is amazing. You know, and if we weren't speaking to you, we wouldn't. Nobody would know. I mean, a door looks like a door and glass looks like a glass. I mean,
and this that's is what our homeowners say all the time.
Yeah.
They don't really care. They go, I don't care. Just pick a window. And it's like, that's why we want answers up front. It's like, how much do you want to spend? You know, what do you
and
know,
what are your what concerns? Style? Yeah.
Yeah. What are your needs? What are your expectations?
Yeah, expectations, for sure. And then what we try to do is build that value in the product that we're going to provide, no matter what option it is, whether it's a good quality product or if they're looking at price point, you know.
So do you also provide like security doors in these places where Brent is saying that it's dark and on the side, and do you have?
It's not common.
I mean, we wouldn't put a door like that on a house, you know, like a steel entry door or something like that. But to that point, if I see a door like going off the garage, I'm not going to put a full light door there with glass. I'm looking at that like, okay, this is kind of like a man door where it's just someone goes in and out the garage. It's just kind of there. We would just probably put like a flat door, maybe a couple panels on it. Painted the same color as the body of the house so that it goes away.
Like a fiberglass?
Like a fiberglass door, and save the customer money.
Yeah. It's still sturdy enough so nobody could like kick it in or take a big piece of wood and smash it in.
Well, you can make that door an outswing, meaning the door swings to the exterior side and they can't kick it in because when the door is closed, it stops.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
I wanted to kind of go into waterproofing as well.
Waterproofing.
For exterior doors, what is the least likely type of door that's going to leak water? In-swing or outswing?
An outswing.
Yep.
But the outswing will now be towards the exterior side of the wall, so it could have a bigger chance of getting water on the top of it and possibly warping. But I highly recommend Therma-True. It's a fiberglass door manufacturer. They offer great price points, lots of different styles. And during the Harvey flood, I was called back to several projects where I had sold Therma-True doors, and we replaced all the windows, replaced all the interior doors, and the Therma-True doors under 3 feet of water were fine.
Oh no, say that louder.
The Therma-True doors were under 3 feet of water and they were fine.
That's amazing. Based on the damage we've heard from others about it, what water can do.
I mean, they still got it in the house.
Yeah, it still looks like wood.
They didn't have to replace them. They just let it dry out and off we went.
Wow.
It's quite impressive.
That is very impressive. Okay, enough about doors. What about your special order products? Are you just sort of blending those ideas into the doors and the windows, or is there something else?
Well, you know, the process we've created at Grogan's is pretty easy, and we have all these different windows, and a lot of customers come in and they're like, I really enjoyed the time I spent with you buying the windows and the doors, and I want some shutters for my house, or I'd like you to do the bath hardware. So we offer those things.
I
just built a 10-foot wide by 30-foot wide skylight for a project out in
that's a large skylight.
That's huge. Yeah, so there are, you know, if you can produce a set of plans with it and kind of maybe you know, if you can do a little research as to what you want, then we can probably find the product for you.
Wow. That is a big skylight. So what happened? I mean, what kind of covering or whatever do you put over it to keep it, the sun from burning up the
That has house. Laminated glass on it.
So it reflects?
Well, it also has a low E coating. Low E is a coating that it's actually a silver, a finite amount of silver that's reflective that they put on the inner pane of the outside of the, on the outermost pane of glass on the inside, and that reduces the solar conductivity through the glass, making your home cooler, and then it also keeps the heat in the winter.
Oh, fascinating. And what were you going to say about the hurricane?
The hurricane?
Oh, I thought you were talking about you were going to say something about hurricanes or wind around a for hail.
That's why whenever you do a skylight, you always want to make sure you get laminated glass.
Oh,
so if there is a hailstorm, you know, you don't want that skylight. You
know, we've actually purchased some skylights from you guys. Velux, I believe, is one of your products.
That's the one that's our go-to skylight. Mm-hmm. They have a no-leak warranty provided you buy the flashing kit
mm-hmm.
with them. It's a no-leak warranty for a hole in your roof.
And then, I believe the one that we purchased, it had you can control it to open and close by a remote.
Yes, Velux has.
That's cool.
They have fixed skylights. They have when skylights that open and close, whether via wiring system for a switch on the wall or a remote that's electronically that are solar powered on the roof. So if it's left open and the batteries, there was a lot of shade. There was not much sun, and the batteries were running down, it automatically closes. They also have blinds on the inside of them, but a remote control in different colors. So if you wanted something like that, which people don't buy that often, but it's available. Velux also has skylights for different applications. Let's say you had a dormered roof, and you didn't want to build a projection. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
They would actually have a window that opens up that has stairs out.
Oh, so my goodness.
It's an egress skylight. I've sold a few of those.
Wow. That sounds like more than a specialty
solar
order.
Solar light tubes.
So they have solar light tubes. They have the round top.
Yep.
Or they have a low
profile.
So you
do provide those as well.
And they have 10-inch and 16-inch. And then there's questions you have to ask. How long is the run from the roof to the ceiling? And you typically want to get a rigid tube. They have flexible tubes, but a rigid tube has a higher reflective surface inside, so it's going to bring more light into that room. It's a great way if you have like a bathroom in the middle of your house. It's a good way to provide some natural light in there, especially if it's a master bathroom or something like that.
Then you don't have to turn the light on.
Yeah, it's cool. Very cool.
It comes with a little diffuser.
Yeah.
And then there's a cover if you ever wanted to just cover it up. It's a little pull on.
We've installed a couple of those. I like them.
So we're getting to the end of our time here. So I think we got a pretty good idea about what your company does. What about you? Are you a Houstonian? Or how long have you been with Grogan? Give us a few details.
From Seattle. So go Seahawks. But I've been down here since 2008.
Uh-huh.
I have been in the window and door business since 1989. I started out loading trucks at a little place called Henry Bacon in Seattle, and worked at other places in Seattle, and I worked my way all the way up from loading trucks to running the door machine, pulling sticks of lumber, pulling orders, delivering orders. We actually had a pre-finished shop. We sprayed and pre-finished doors. And then I moved down here and decided I'd had enough of doors and I wanted to get into windows. And so I started in the window business, and I've been doing this for 7 years now. And I really enjoy my job. The company I work for, Grogan's, is family owned, and they don't have any kids, and they treat us like family, and that's why I like to work there.
Oh, that's great. That's like Brent. Brent treats all of his people like a family as well. Okay, Brent, do you have any other questions for Sean?
I don't.
No?
I think we've covered pretty much everything. Whenever a client would come into the shop, you know, that's what they're going to ask and what they're going to talk about. So hopefully we informed a lot of people.
So with the window companies, they also offer door systems. So if you want a bifolding door or a pocketing door or a stacking door that would match that product line you're using on the windows, they have that for the doors.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice to know. Thanks for that. Yeah.
Colors match. The symmetry is all there. The grid patterns all match if you so desire.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys have any type of social media or any kind of website?
Yeah, we are on Instagram and Facebook. We also have a marketing person who does a lot of that thing. So,
and
we also have a website, www.groganbuildingsupply.com. If you're interested in a product, you just go to products and windows and click on the icons. It'll take you right to their website.
Perfect.
And our phone number and contact information is on there. And if you need any help, don't hesitate to reach out to us or myself.
Yes.
Great.
And then same thing with us. I mean, thanks for listening. We have, you know, get on Instagram, Facebook, follow our pages to learn what's going on daily on our job sites and building science techniques and learn about some of our products. Then you can always check out our website at www.texasmb.com.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.